Hello, my name's Caroline Jones, and welcome to episode 2 of Out of the Archives. This week is called The First Girls at Wellington, because I've been looking into our records which chart the arrival of those first girls. Now, in the late 1960s and early 1970s, there had been literally a handful of girls admitted to the sixth form at Wellington, and they were the daughters of teaching staff at college or at Eagle House. There were one or two a year, if that. They were probably sent here because their girls' schools didn't offer the subjects that they wanted to do at A-level, or perhaps were not thought capable of getting the girls into Oxbridge. But girls' places were not offered publicly at that time. In the early 1970s, the master, Frank Fisher, wrote that he'd been under very heavy pressure, mostly from old Wellingtonians, to admit girls to the sixth form. Perhaps these OWs had also found that their daughters' schools didn't offer what they wanted in the sixth form, and so they wanted to be able to send their daughters to their own old school. When Queen's Court opened in 1974, it freed up some space elsewhere in the college to create a base, or what we'd now call a day house, for girls. And so, in March and April 1975, the master announced that it had been decided to admit 15 girls per year into the sixth form, strictly as day students. He wrote, "It will not be possible to cope with boarders." From the very beginning, the girls' house was called the Apsley. And to begin with, it was in the ground floor of what's now the Wellesley. How interesting that that's now a girls' day house once again. In actual fact, only 8 or 10 girls came in the first year, which was September 1975, and about the same number in the second year. To put that into perspective, at the time the whole school consisted of 704 boys. Now, in my previous podcast, I spoke about the house books, or FASTI, the records kept by the students of each house in which they recorded their triumphs and tribulations, and which were never shown to any teachers. I'm really glad that in the archives we have a house book written by the girls from those first few years, because it's wonderful to have their account written at the time of what went on and how they felt about it. It begins with an account written by the first head girl at the end of her 2 years here in 1977. And I thought you might like to hear what she wrote, so here goes. You'll have to excuse any hesitations, she doesn't have the easiest handwriting to read. When the first girls embarked on their first year at Wellington College, we had to gain acceptance from the male community, both socially and academically. We were given two rules which set us apart from the rest of the pupils. Firstly, we were on no account to go up to the boys' dormitories. This created difficulties, namely that discussions were continued from classes in the dormitories. In fact, the rule was slightly amended, and after the first term we fought to be allowed up to the dormitories during the 20-minute morning break, which was not long enough to achieve anything. The second rule was that we always had to be escorted by the boys around the grounds after dark. This rule has been open to many comments. The Apsley accommodation was a large room below the junior common room. There was a very difficult atmosphere from the beginning. The room had been newly decorated and furnished, which caused the boys to be jealous, and that was not a good basis for the boys and girls to integrate socially. The problems that the first year had to face made us a very tight-knit community. We rarely argued with one another and did most things as a group, which probably did not help us in the long run, because it was more difficult for the boys to break through the barrier and make friends with the girls. Nevertheless, as a whole, we were determined to make steps to improve the situation and enjoy ourselves. In the afternoons, we would organise birthday parties while the boys were doing sport. I think that's interesting to note that no sport was organised for the girls. And they certainly seemed to appreciate the food we prepared. Another amusement we organised was dancing lessons for the boys, which turned out to be a good laugh and very successful. Two basic problems emerged from all this, which I think have at last been successfully overcome by later years of girls. We decided to hold a dance in our first term, which we spent a tremendous amount of energy and money on preparing. We invited our own girlfriends to make up the numbers, and found during the evening the boys we had invited were much more interested in the other girls than us. In retrospect, we rather felt that the boys were afraid of meeting us on Monday morning in classes. This was rather a disappointment to us. The other problem was in the friends we did make. Very often, teenage girls are more mature than boys of the same age. Therefore, it was natural that we should make friends largely in the sixth room, in other words, the upper sixth, the year above them. And this made it twice as difficult to make friends in our own year, because they felt we were mixing with part of the community that were appointed to keep them in order. There were exceptions, but on the whole, we were not very successful in integrating into our own year. One thing we did manage to get accepted by college, which I think has been a great step forward for girls who followed us, this was to make boy-girl relationships accepted by the staff and other boys. There was much teasing that the couple had to face from their contemporaries, and also there was pressure put on the relationship because we had to prove that the relationship would not interfere with our work and ultimately our exams. Also, to find some kind of privacy in a community where everyone knows what everyone else is doing. Gradually, through the first year, a skeleton of rules formed. We had learned how far we could go to breaking and stretching them. Generally, we had quite a free rein, which made it difficult for the second year of girls, because they had no idea how far rules were to be obeyed. There was never very much inclination in our year to enter into much sport. We played in the hockey league matches for the boys' houses. We each affiliated to a different house. And we organised our own games against some boys, which usually ended up in good humour. We also played tennis and squash matches against other schools, although we were never very successful, mainly because we were not enthusiastic enough. Where the girls were a great boon right from the beginning was in the drama department, where the scope of drama was widened dramatically. I think that the result of integrating girls into college has on the whole been successful. Boys learn at a younger age that girls are people and are capable of a good friendship as well as boyfriend-girlfriends. The girls seem to influence the manners of the boys and masters, and the bad language was said to have diminished. As I look back on the 2 years I spent at college, I think I learnt to live with and accept many different kinds of people. And I think this goes for the other girls. And although we found a lack of maturity in many of the boys, we each learnt how to cope with the constant people around all the time. I think the introduction of girls at college has been an overall successful experiment, which has given a rather old-fashioned public school a new lease of life in an ever-progressing society. So, in some ways, I think that the first head girl makes things sound quite easy. Her successor, writing on behalf of the second year of girls, goes into rather more detail on the everyday difficulties and embarrassments of being one of very few girls among a large number of boys. She talks about the appraising glances when standing in chapel, the first lessons in which the lucky ones with a female classmate sat nervously together, and in which the unlucky ones alone sat silently fearing and speculating how to maintain a calm exterior. The surprise of realising that anonymous surname was yours. I think that refers to the way, at that time, boys at boys' schools were addressed just by their surname, and so were the girls when they came here, whereas they'd been used to being called by their first name at girls' schools. She writes about waiting for a safe number to gather before braving meals and the endless embarrassing wait in the queue. She writes about the masses of rumours which circulated and how difficult it was when you believed that everyone was talking about you. Perhaps that's an experience that hasn't changed too much for students today. She says the close community was like a greenhouse. Every little thing blew up out of proportion, seemed horrific, but was forgotten overnight. It was very difficult to balance your activities and emotions, avoid the melodrama, and get on with the work. As I said, the girls were originally based in what's now the Wellesley, and the head girl also writes of the difficulties of that being like a goldfish bowl, literally, huge windows, which provided entertainment for members of the CCF during drill. Hopefully, that's no longer so much of a problem for the present members of the Wellesley, as they can now be part of the CCF and do drill themselves, which was not an option here for girls until 1979, and then they could only join the Royal Naval Section. After 3 years, in September 1978, the Apsley moved to its present location in what had been the sanatorium, now the health centre. The girls found both good and bad points to that. More privacy, fewer boys raiding their fridge for swipes on the way back from rugby matches, but on the other hand, being a bit more isolated from the rest of the college. The main difference, though, was that now the Apsley could take boarders. At the time, the aim was to take about 15 boarders plus 7 or 8 day girls per year. Present-day girls might be interested to learn that in the master's letter to parents that year, he wrote that the new house would include a comfortable sitting room, a kitchen fully equipped for domestic science teaching, and a dressmaking room. How interesting that those features were thought necessary for girls. The writer for the third year of girls really tells a tale of contrasts. On the one hand, she gives a vivid account of the kind of bullying which I hope would be unacceptable nowadays. She talks about an influential group of boys in the upper sixth who would regularly pick on the girls, particularly in the queue for the dining hall. She says an evening's sport would be to pick on a girl wearing a new item of clothing and then to make loud comments about the disgusting colour or how fat the girl looked in it, while she stood there in the queue desperately trying to ignore the 8 voices. It got to the point where one girl refused to go into dinner at all, and I'm not sure how it was resolved. On the other hand, she writes of the entertainments the Apsley girls made for themselves. Cross-country competitions over and under the chairs in the house, skipping, dyeing our hair pink with food colouring, hair cutting, water fights, and a few other things which I'd rather not mention. She also tells us about the first time the girls played a hockey match against another school. They lost 12-0 to Marlborough. For the return match, they did slightly better by borrowing the junior boys' goalkeeper and pretending he was a girl. She writes, "We never had as much support from the boys as in this first home game. It had been passed around the school that Apsley were playing their first match, and spectators were 3 or 4 deep on either side of the pitch. This was one of the first times that we actually felt part of the school because so many people turned up to watch and support us." I could go on. The book carries on up to 1980, but I don't have time today. Girls continued to be admitted only to the Wellington Sixth Form until 2006, when the first group of third form girls arrived. Sadly, I don't have their first-hand experiences recorded in the archives. I'm sure they would be just as interesting. I hope you've enjoyed hearing a bit about the experiences of the first girls at Wellington, and maybe it's made you reflect on what has changed and what hasn't. I'll be back again in a couple of weeks with more Out of the Archives.